This episode is brought to you by Propelaw. People take authentication for granted, but it's more than how customers log into your product. It's how you manage your relationship with your users. The easiest way to make authentication your advantage is to use Propelauth. Propelauth is more than just functional. It's powerful. With tools like managed UIs, enterprise SSO, robust user management features, and actionable insights, Propelauth adapts as your product grows. And the best part? When auth is effortless, your team can focus on scaling, not troubleshooting. That means more releases, happier customers, and more growth for your business. Save dev time, win over your customers, and propel your business forward with Propelauth. Check them out at propelauth.com. That's PROPELAUTH.com.
We love open source. We want to be supportive of open source. At the same time, we are a company. We want to be a for-profit company. There's always that challenge of how much do you open source and give away for free? How much do you keep as a feature that's only paid so that you can generate that revenue? I think where we end up falling there is that we tend to think, hey, those features that are for the individual developer, we try to make those open source. And then those features that are needed once you need scale in terms of the organization size, right? Like now there's a big team of developers using the product and you need to administer it. We tend to think of those as paid. My name is Daniel Loredo. I'm the CEO and founder of Jetify.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
It's 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing on the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what to do next.
It took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
Our company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, Mike.
Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Laphart, and today how Daniel Loredo is removing the complexity from your development by making products to support your cloud dev. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Grow your API user adoption and improve engineering velocity with friction-free integration experiences. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in minutes. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, and AutoTrader, you're in good hands. Join the Wolfpack at qawolf.com. Daniel Loredo grew up in Venezuela, but moved around a lot and lived in 6 different countries. He's married with 2 kids, ages 8 and 5, which keeps him busy. Being based out of Austin, Texas, he and his family like to spend time outdoors on Lake Austin or Lake Travis. When it comes to food, he enjoys good sushi and eating healthy. And nowadays, he sticks to nonfiction reading in order to learn something. As part of running a team, Daniel had to create a platform engineering squad to support the development process. What nagged him about this was that he felt like he was recreating the wheel, having done this many times before. He figured someone should solve these problems by building products to make cloud dev delightful. This is the creation story of Jetify.
Jetify is all about making developer tools that make lives of developers easier. Our main product today is all around creating developer environment. We have an open source tool called DevBox that lets you define a developer environment, define all the tools that you need for a particular project, and then create that environment in a reproducible way, so that you and all your team members can create the exact same environment every single time. And then complementing DevBox, we have something we call DevSpaces, which is a way to start those environments on the cloud, right? And so that same environment that you define that you can run locally, you can also start it on the cloud. And so the idea is that your environment becomes portable, essentially. Like, you can run that exact same environment in your computer, inside a container, in your Mac, on the cloud. And then product number two, the one I mentioned, is in a private beta today, but we are going to be opening up soon, is an AI-driven end-to-end tester for applications. So it basically does end-to-end testing for your application automatically. And the way it works is that we use the developer environments product that we have to set up a reproducible environment in which we're going to do the testing. And then on top of that, we have an AI agent that just walks through every screen, every page of your application, and automatically generates integration tests and then runs them. I've worked at a lot of tech companies before. I worked at Google, Twitter, Airbnb. And then the last company I was working at before Jetify is a company called Virta Health, where they do telemedicine for diabetes. And I was the head of engineering there. So I was running the engineering team. And as part of running that team, in order to do all this stuff we wanted to do on the cloud, I had to create a platform engineering team that could make internal infrastructure and platforms that the rest of the engineering team could use. It's a fairly common pattern in a lot of companies. They create these platform engineering teams. Something was nagging me about it. One, I felt a lot of deja vu. I felt, oh man, I've worked at all these companies and it feels like every company is having to create this type of team. And in many of those teams, you're recreating the same stuff over and over. So that kind of felt wasteful. And the other thing that was nagging me about it was that as I thought about the mission of the company, in the case of Virta Health, the mission is to reverse diabetes. Here we were doing a ton of work that had nothing to do with the mission of the company. Here you are spending essentially millions of dollars a year on salary for stuff that is not truly differentiating to the company. All of that together make me feel, hey, there's still plenty of space and plenty of opportunity to improve the tools that developers use. And I want to try to productize as much of that stack as possible. Let's start a company around it and see what we can do.
Tell me about the MVP for, you know, the existing product and then for the product that you're going to be releasing soon. Tell me about those MVPs, how they came about, the process of building, and how long it took to build, and, you know, what sort of tools you're using to bring them to life.
Both of the products that I just talked about really came from wanting to scratch our own needs, if you will, until we realized, hey, we should just turn these into products and offer them to other people. And it makes sense. In the case of our company, our end users are developers and we're developers ourselves. So we're always looking for, hey, what are the things that we feel like we need that we don't have? For the developer environments, we knew that we wanted to make it easy for any engineer in the company to easily start working on any of our projects in any part of the code base. We've been at these companies where you used to have just like readme instructions on how to set something up, or maybe you have some bash script that got out of date, and then you'd start running into, you need to spend 3 days configuring your environment, or it works in my computer but not yours, how come? And it turns out you have like different versions of the tools. So we knew we wanted that. So at first what we did is we decided to define a Docker file and work inside of a Docker container for each of the projects that we had. But we found out very quickly that was painful, mainly for two reasons. One is that it was very easy to change something in the environment that would bust the Docker cache. You thought you just did a small change and you wanted to test it quickly, and all of a sudden you found yourself waiting 20 minutes because the entire container was rebuilding. And then two, Docker, particularly on a Mac where it needs to do virtualization, can do a lot of resource usage. Your computer gets really warm, the fan is spinning, compilation slow because there's a layer of virtualization over the file system. We got frustrated and started to looking for a different solution. In that process, we found a technology called Nix, which allows you to create reproducible environments. But we felt that the user experience of Nix wasn't where it needed to be. We created a wrapper around it, made the interface easier, released it as open source, saw a ton of interest, and that's how the first product was born. I always want our products to be very high quality. And so I've always been encouraging the team, like, hey, we need to write integration tests. We need to make sure that the end-to-end app works like we think it does. Writing tests is one of those chores, I guess, that developers sometimes be like, I want to focus on the business logic. I want to focus on the core feature, not on writing all this code that is for testing, that sometimes is flaky, right? Because if you change your UI a little bit, then the way your tests describe how to select an element out of the screen maybe breaks. And not because the application broke, but because the test is out of date today. I wanted to ensure the quality of our application, but we weren't really feeling like we wanted to write a lot of tests. And so we decided, hey, what happens if we use our developer environments to create an instance of the application we want to test? And then on top of that, create an AI agent that will automatically walk through that application and generate the tests automatically. We've shared it now with a few friends of the company or friendly customers, and we like the results we see so far. So we're planning to open that up later in the year.
So let's stay on those MVPs for a minute. And maybe there's a joint answer here, or maybe there's specific ones for both, but I'm curious about decisions and trade-offs you had to make, right? That could be around feature cut, limitation approach, you know, technical debt acceptance, or things like that. But tell me about some of those you had to work through and how you coped with the decisions.
We love open source. We want to be supportive of open source. At the same time, we are a company. We want to be a for-profit company. And so there's always that challenge of how much do you open source and give away for free? How much do you keep as a feature that's only paid so that you can generate that revenue and monetize? So that's been a kind of a trade-off that we think a lot about. I think where we end up falling there is that we tend to think, hey, those features that are for the individual developer, we try to make those open source. And then those features that are needed once you need scale in terms of the organization size, right? Like now there's a big team of developers using the product and you need to administer it, or stuff around security compliance, we tend to think of those as paid. I think another big trade-off is always around scope. And I guess how reliable or how scalable you make a certain feature or product out of the bat. I guess the tricky thing is, yes, of course, we want reliable, high quality products all the time, but also we don't want to over engineer. And also we want to ship quickly, right? We want to put products in front of users' hands and we want to learn from the market as quickly as we can. Because if you end up building the wrong thing, you spend 6 months over engineering something, put it out and realize you built the wrong thing, then that's just wasted time. And as a startup, you want to minimize that because otherwise you'll die.
This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Whether you're growing the user adoption of your public API or streamlining internal development, SDKs can turn the chore of API integration into effortless implementation. Unburden your API users from guessing their way around your API while keeping your team focused on your product. Shorten the time to live integration and provide a delightful experience for your customers. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate up-to-date, robust, idiomatic SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in just a matter of minutes. SDKs are feature-rich with type safety, auto-retries, and pagination. Everything you need to give your API the developer experience it deserves. Deliver a premium API experience without the premium price tag. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory to get started and generate your first SDK for free. Let's stick with the first product. You've got that product. It's out there. It's working. How have you progressed it? How have you matured it? And I'm curious about, you know, for Jetify and for these products, how do you go about building your roadmaps? How do you go about deciding this is the next most important thing to build or to address for the product?
The most important thing is to be talking to our users all the time. Maybe as a little bit of a story. When we first started the company, we were actually working on a different product that we were not doing anymore, which was all around deploying stuff to Kubernetes. the reason I'm mentioning that is because that product, we started being strictly proprietary. We didn't do any open source back then. And the challenge that we were finding is actually finding people to talk to about the product because they hadn't tried it. And so we had to sell them on it. But before being sold, they want to understand it. And so one of the best decisions we ever made, in my opinion, for the company is to go open source. And as part of that push, we also set up a developer community. And so we have a Discord server where, you know, people that find out about our products can join and can ask questions and can interact with us. When we're thinking about the roadmap, we are really trying to hear what our customers' needs are and what challenges they're running into. I'll put an asterisk, though, that in terms of translating their requests into features, I think there's still intuition needed. You probably heard that famous Ford quote that if he'd asked his customers what they want, they would have said they wanted a faster horse, which in my view, what it means is you need to talk to your customers. You need to understand their pain points. But then you, as the company building the product, need to have an opinion and an intuition on how best to solve that problem. And maybe the solution that your first or second customer that you're talking to is suggesting is not the best solution. So their problem is real, but the solution might be different than what they're imagining at first.
So, you know, I hear you talking about we, right? Tell me about how you built your team. What do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
When I had just started the company, we were hiring the first few people. Really what I focus on there is recruiting from my network. Basically, I wanted to work, if possible, with people that I had worked with before, where we already knew the dynamic between each other, our preferences. We knew that we would work well with each other. As we've grown, in terms of what attributes I look for, obviously we look for technically capable people, but besides that, I think we're looking for people that can act like owners, that can handle ambiguity, that are more interested in solving the problems for users than being tied to a particular solution or technology. And those are all, I guess, attributes that in my mind are needed for the stage of an early startup, right? Because the direction might change. You might learn something new and you might need to go in a different direction. So we want people that are very proactive, self-sufficient, and can handle that ambiguity to help us find the right direction.
This episode is sponsored by Vanta. You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors. But they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. And that's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How, you ask? Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted VCSOs to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. Simplify compliance and get $1,000 off at vanta.com/codestory. That's VANTA.com/codestory. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. If slow QA processes bottleneck your software engineering team and you're releasing slower because of it, you need a solution. You need QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, AutoTrader, and many more, you're in good hands. Ready to ship faster with fewer bugs? Join the Wolfpack at QAWolf.com to see if they can help you squash the QA bottleneck. Tell me about scalability. This will be interesting. Tell me about if you approached this, you know, building these products, right, as scalable from day one, or have there been interesting areas that you've had to fight it as you've grown?
If you try to build everything scalable from day one, you might actually spend a lot of time over-engineering for the stage that you're in and not ship as fast. And so we feel like we always need to apply some judgment on which areas do we start more scrappy on, because we're mainly interested in learning users' reactions and seeing whether this is something they will even find valuable, versus where are the areas where it's time to invest a lot on reliability and scalability because our customers are starting to depend on that feature. In general, I guess the framework we've been using is we ask ourselves, is this a new feature or product where we're mostly trying to learn whether the use case is valuable? Or is this an area where we are seeing use and know that people are starting to depend on it? And in those areas, let's really spend time on that polish and scalability.
So Daniel, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built thus far, one product out there, one product about to be out there, and this company making cloud development delightful, what are you most proud of?
One of the things I'm proudest of is the team itself. So I think you'd expect me to talk about the product or the technology, but I think at the end, the team and the culture that we build around that team is one of the things I'm proudest of. I think you want to work with smart people, but you want to also have a culture that kind of excites you, that makes you want to go, you know, back to work every day, where people are challenging each other's ideas so that you can find the best solution, but also in a respectful, collaborative way. And I think we have that. And so that is one of the things I'm proudest of.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
I alluded to this earlier, but I think one of the mistakes we made early on was to take a very enterprisey approach for our first product before we had learned enough from the market. And so, one, we didn't have an open source solution. It was strictly SaaS. But two, because of the nature of the product, it required some deep integration with the customer's technology. And so here we are, a little startup trying to get feedback on the product, but people are not able to easily try it. We're almost trying to sell it in order for them to try it. That was just a bad dynamic. And I think for us, the big learning was, we need to change our go-to-market so that we can be in a place where we're getting that constant feedback from users and we're constantly talking to them. A while back, I read a book. I forget the exact name of the book, but it was about the Wright brothers and how they invented the first airplane that could fly. And one thing that stuck with me in that book is that one of the main things they did to be successful, because at that time there were many people trying to come up with that first airplane, is that they were able to quickly prototype all sorts of wings with an air tunnel and then figured out very quickly, basically by rapidly prototyping, what the best wing design was. And so they would rapidly prototype the wing and then they would try it for real and iterate. I think the moral of the story is that they were able to greatly accelerate the speed at which they experimented and the speed at which they were learning. And I think startups need to look for ways to do that as well. Back to our story, I think at first we weren't learning as rapidly as we wanted to, and so we had to change that.
This will be fun. And I know you've got a product on the cusp of being shared and being released. So there's probably some bits in here, but I'm curious about the future for Jetify. Tell me about that future, what it looks like for the products and for your team.
The product we're going to release soon is based on AI. And I guess we're really trying to figure out how to incorporate AI into our products and how to best use it. When you have these waves like AI, there's both value being created, but there's also hype that people are naturally chasing. We're trying to ask ourselves, where can we use AI, but in a way that creates true value for our users, as opposed to just slapping it and using it for marketing and saying AI powered and all that kind of stuff. So we're just trying to find the right ways to incorporate it in a way that creates true value. And we are excited about several of those directions.
Let's switch to you, Daniel. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
In many ways, I'd say my dad is somebody that influenced the way I work. And he's not a technologist. He's retired now. He used to work in pharmaceuticals. But I guess the reason I bring him up is because as a kid, I always felt like he had a very strong work ethic. I don't know, I always got the impression as a son that he was working hard to provide for the family. I admired that. And so as I became an adult myself and a working professional, I wanted to emulate that work ethic.
Okay, Daniel, last question. So you're getting on a plane. You're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
One, be constantly talking to users and customers and be always learning. I think as technologists, as engineer myself, sometimes it's really easy to get, I guess, enamored with the craft of building and the craft of software engineering, the technology itself and the process of building the software. When you're building a company, you're not just building the technology, you're building the business, you're building the team. And so I think it's very important to get out of the shell of only thinking about the technology and really listening to your customers. I guess on that same note around the team, I think it's really important to think about who you want to bring on, what qualities they should have, and what you want that working dynamic to be.
That's fantastic advice. Well, Daniel, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Jetify.
My pleasure.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Laphart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.